Hi, this is your host, Lynn Suzuk. I'm here with Mark. Hi, Mark.
Good afternoon.
We were talking last week about this exciting communication. God had spoken to one of my friends that really encouraged me, and it had to do with a vision of my walking out of my chair, which many, many people have had visions about it. And it's just always encouraging. We've had dreams, visions, and all kinds of word just over and over from God that that I'm going to be walking. And this one is just the most powerful thing because it's we're going to talk about it again because we're moving on with the concept that was brought out. It's me in my wheelchair, and then I get younger and younger and younger till I'm a toddler. And then I get up out of my chair, and that means that, I just believe immediately that that means that, God's confirming to me that He wants that I need to have the faith of a child in order to do this, and what it takes to get there is what we're pursuing and trying to understand. And Mark, we were discussing this vision and what that means and what childlike faith is last week, and I think we had a couple examples, and one of them, I know we were wondering sort of the opposite of this faith walk thing that's out there when people fail and think that acting, putting their faith in action is what triggers faith.
Right. Like, I stepped out in faith and I did what I thought was going to be right, but it didn't work. So it wasn't my faith. I wouldn't have taken the chance if I was faithless, right?
Right. And the big question out there that's discussed all the time on Christian radio is, we know that some people get healed by putting their faith in action. Like that's what's triggering the healing. But it isn't necessarily that way.
Right. I'll stop taking my pain medication. That's my action. Therefore, God will heal me.
Right, like we're
Well, that
twisting his arm or something.
exactly.
And what it is just the belief and the action together is what is what
Right.
manifests the faith, but I mean the healing.
You were giving me an example before we started recording about doing something in the flesh as an action, hoping that that would launch my faith.
I was comparing faith with, let's say, wanting to learn how to swim and not knowing how to swim, but seeing everybody else jump in the water and it's working, they're swimming. And you go, well, I guess jumping in is what causes you to learn how to swim.
Right.
And sometimes you do learn how to swim by jumping in,
Some people might,
but a
right?
lot, but most of
Some
the
people
time,
won't.
you'll sink and
Yeah.
die. And a lot of people have been, I mean, it's coming out all the time. People are getting angry because they hear of stories on the news where some Christian family stopped giving their child the medication that they needed and the child dies. And
Right.
then we get a bad rep for trying to get healed and somebody did it like backwards.
They were like doing it in the flesh. Well, if I stop taking the medication, that shows God my faith, and God's going to respond to my faith, and He's going to heal my child. And
And then
that's
they blame God because it
right.
didn't happen.
Right.
And
So
so the ability to swim is not there.
right.
So jumping in doesn't help.
Right. Now we have the crowd that talks about, well, we have great faith and small faith, big faith and little faith. And this concept is really a pre-Christ concept. There's an example in Matthew chapter 17 where the disciples were trying to heal this lunatic that was foaming at the mouth, and they were praying for him, and he didn't get healed. And so the father of the lunatic came to Jesus and said, your disciples tried to heal my son, and they couldn't do it. And here's what Jesus' response is, and this is where this big faith and little faith could come from. Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? Well, at this point, we're talking about people who are walking with Jesus but don't necessarily have Jesus in them yet. Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet. He hadn't provided the atonement and the spiritual blessings that are in the heavenly realms. He hasn't given that to them yet. So at that point, they could have been faithless, perverse generation. Mm-hmm. However, the disciples had healed other people in the past. He sent them out two by two, and they were to heal and proclaim the word of God. If I skip down to verse 20, verse 19, it says, Then came the disciples to Jesus apart. Now, Jesus had already healed this lunatic, and so here now the disciples are pulling him aside, and they're saying, why could we not cast him out? Now, listen to Jesus' response. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
Verily I say to you, if you had the faith the grain of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, be cast, so forth and so on. So here's Jesus saying, it's because of your unbelief, not because of your small faith, because faith can be small and still accomplish great things.
Right.
He's saying, if you had the faith of the grain of mustard seed, that's the tiniest seed there is out there.
So the question is, how do we get rid of the unbelief?
Unbelief is the problem.
And just have faith of a child left.
Absolutely. So if I'm
do great things.
If I have the power of faith and I have unbelief pulling, there's like two groups pulling in opposite directions, the net result is nothing.
And many people get healed of something in their lifetime as a Christian, and then they get sick and they don't get healed of that. And they go, what's going on? I was healed before, so it must be up to God. God sometimes heals and sometimes he doesn't. Oh, you never know what God's going to do. And
right.
We want to counter all that, because what we're understanding, what makes sense to me, and what we've heard from other ministries that we're hanging on to, is that God is willing all the time. But in some cases, we believe, and in some cases, how do we receive unbelief is the question. And a lot of times it's the spoken word over our situation. In the case,
that's how we receive unbelief.
We can, yes, not the spoken word of God,
spoken word of
a doctor,
an opinion.
Somebody speaks a word like, you now have this condition,
right.
And
it's
incurable. And you go, oh, and you conceive unbelief in your heart and go, oh, I'm dying. I'm never going to get well again, or I had this accident and I can't get out of it. And well, I mean, that happened to me.
So now you give more
credibility
to the doctor
than to God's word.
Well, how do we get rid of our unbelief? If we skip down the next verse or two, actually it's verse 21.
And where are you at again?
Matthew 17, verse 21. He says, howbeit this kind goes out by prayer and fasting. Now, many people have taught that he is talking about the lunatic spirit goes mm-hmm. out by prayer and fasting, but that doesn't make sense in the context of what's happened. What's happened is they brought him this person who was in need of healing. He healed them. And then in verse 19, it says, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast them out? They're nowhere near the lunatic anymore.
Right.
They are off to the side, and the disciples are saying, what did we do wrong?
Right.
Jesus said, it's because of your unbelief. So now he's talking about the unbelief.
Right.
He's not talking about the lunatic spirit.
Right.
And as we continue, it's not your faith, because if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be cast into the sea.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying, even the tiniest of faith is all you need. It's your unbelief that's countering your faith. Verse 21, howbeit this kind goes out only by prayer and fasting. Now we are learning how to get rid of our unbelief. And this is one of the reasons that we spend time fasting. We put our bodies into submission.
Mm-hmm.
We are saying to our bodies, you do not control me. My
right.
spirit controls you,
right.
and you are going to listen to what I'm saying. I'm telling you you're healthy. I'm telling you I'm in control. I'm telling you, you know, the body's fighting back. It's saying, oh, no, no, no. I tell you when we eat. I tell you when we go to the bathroom. I tell you when we sleep.
Right.
So there's a battle going on there between the physical and the spiritual.
Amen.
Jesus has taught us prayer and fasting. When we're in prayer, it's completely spiritual.
Amen.
When we're in prayer, we're connecting with God. There's nothing physical about it.
Mm-hmm.
When we're fasting, we're telling our body, you will submit to me. I'm in control of you. You listen to me and to what the Spirit says. And that's why prayer and fasting is so powerful, and why it's so resisted.
And fasting weakens the flesh, as we know. We start to get kind of weak in our ability to function, but I always sense that my spirit becomes is like,
you know,
kind of waking up and able to hear God, and I'm starting to hear things in my spirit. And even though, you know, it's just it's the problem is that we work every day, and it would be so nice if we could go off in, like Jesus did, into the desert and or off somewhere where we don't need to be around people that are eating and everything. But that is what happens. We have to, I mean, fasting is very beneficial spiritually.
It's very purposeful. You're doing it for a specific reason. And keep in mind, as you just said, when you're fasting, you become more spiritually in tune. You hear God's word. You can also become more in tune with negative spiritual things. So when you're fasting, you want to be very cautious of what you're, you know, you don't want to be fasting and sitting in front of, you know, gobs and gobs of movies or TV and just filling yourself with negative.
You're opening up your spirit, and what you're pouring in it is what you're going
to
get.
You want to spend time listening to praise and worship music. You want to spend time in God's word, spend time in prayer, spend time with others maybe who are fasting. Then you're going to see some really dynamic results and improvement.
Right.
Two verses that I want to share with our audience. Because Jesus died and purchased for us so much on the cross, there's two things we have to remember. In Romans 12:3, it says, we have the measure of faith, not a measure of faith. Like, you have big faith, I have small faith, some people don't have any faith. If you're born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, you have the measure of faith. In Galatians 2:16, two times it says, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, not small faith for you, big faith for me. We all have the same measure of faith. So if you are a born-again, spirit-filled believer and you are fighting things in the physical, sickness, disease, maybe poverty or whatever, curses upon your life, remember, it's not your faith that's lacking. If you have the faith to step out and say, I command this this thing that's happening to me to stop and for it to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
You're acting in faith. The question is it your unbelief countering the faith of Jesus Christ, which is working in you? Because your unbelief can be extremely powerful fighting against what, you know, God's word is trying to do for your life.
And that's why as a child, when we have children, and as soon as we tell them something is so, they believe it. And when we teach them that they can't believe everything that we're teaching them, you know, something that they're going to have to unlearn later and find out that it's just fantasy, then you're kind of teaching them unbelief. So anyway, that's a deep subject. Thanks for listening. We'll be talking to you next week.